Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What up? Good Friday. Beautiful, beautiful.
Am I going to get you at all today over the next 20 minutes? Or
no, you will, but not for... We need this last match in.
I was
going
to say.
Then I'll be with you.
The last match, we're heading to 18, right?
Yeah.
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 You seem
tied.
Somewhat preoccupied right now.
Well, you know, I'm conflicted, JC Babes.
Yeah,
I do have a Europe betting ticket.
You don't
Team
know, by
Europe.
The way, the European
Cup.
Thing that he's talking about. The Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, there may be people right now who's like, what do you mean that you have a ticket on Europe?
I love the Ryder Cup.
It's not a world war right now. It's the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. So I did bet Europe, but yeah. I'm an American, and I root hard. I get caught up in Ryder Cup fever.
See, but here's my thing. I'm calling you out right now because what you did there is it's horse crap.
Well,
if you claim
if they
that,
win,
if
look,
you claim
you can think whatever you want, don't care. Yeah. Listen, here's what I'm saying. This U.S. team has to win this last match, and they are on 18 tied. But Europe is up 5-2. Like, the European team has looked good today.
Yeah. But here's my thing. You can't sit here and try to claim USA, USA.
I just
and
did.
That you're all in, and you're watching this. You're desperately needing the U.S. to pull one out. Meanwhile, you're sitting on a European ticket.
Yeah, I win either
you
way,
damn
don't I?
Turncoat?
I win either way.
No, you're a spy. That's all that is. You're a double agent. That's bunko.
I will let you... think whatever you want. I am an American.
You're telling me in the Royals and the World Series, you bet against the Royals?
Yeah, I could. I didn't.
You did.
Because I knew they'd beat the Mets.
The Giants?
I didn't bet them.
Yeah, so my point is you didn't bet against the Kansas City Royals.
Look, I just thought that Europe at plus money was a great bet.
Well, I'm saying.
And I like placing great bets.
What about the Jayhawks?
So I have a great bet there.
Would you bet against Kansas national title game?
I have definitely bet against Kansas in the NCAA tournament.
No, in the national title game. National title
I can't
game.
Remember. They played in a couple of them.
I'm just saying right now, I think these colors run, Rob.
That's
those
fine.
Colors run.
Like I said, you believe what you need to believe. I am rooting for Team USA. They drive me crazy, and they're losing again, but we need this last match.
Yeah.
And it's Cantlay and Burns against Rory and Lowry. And it sounds to me like, I haven't been able to watch too closely as we've had stuff going on here, but it sounds to me like the crowd is really getting after Rory. He looks quite perturbed, but he just made a big birdie. So anyway, there's your Ryder Cup update. Fun sports weekend is underway.
Yes.
Because our Seahawks won last night?
Yeah, that was...
By the way, I bet against them.
That was interesting. I mean...
Do you feel good about it?
I was watching that, and it was kind of one of those. This is where I've come in the NFL. If you are a team that is clearly better than the other team and you refuse to put them away, I know that something weird is going to happen at the end of the game.
Yeah.
That is just the way it is. Seattle should have been up by 24 points in that game, and you're kind of sitting there. And they kick the field goal to make it two scores, and you're sitting there. They even said it on the game. They're like, well, if they hold them to a field goal here, it's only two scores. The moment that came out of Herb Street's mouth, you're like, yeah, this Arizona's tying this game. In fact, I thought it was kind of cowardly with all that momentum that Arizona didn't go for two and to just win. Because you and it was like
I thought they were.
The moment that they kicked it, you're like, well, here comes Seattle to kick a game-winning field goal. And then the donkey kicks it too short. They get it at the 40. Thanks for coming. 50, whatever it is, 52-yard field goal and walk-off. I just thought that I thought if you were Arizona, you really blew the opportunity to kind of grab that thing by the shorts and try to win.
Yeah, I think you got to go for two there.
Yeah.
And
I would agree.
You still might lose 23-21.
Yeah.
But because of your stupid kicker.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that? Should we just do that right now?
By like a foot, a yard, I mean half a yard, well, that stings.
The whole game, he was kicking off. Okay, so I saw the stat. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that. But the when Arizona kicked off to Seattle, the Seahawks starting field position on average was the 28-yard line.
Yeah.
And on all, I think there were four of them, maybe five, but I think it was four. They were all caught between like the four and the goal line.
Yeah.
So the kicker
was doing his job.
Yeah. That was their plan.
If you don't know the new landing zone, you have to kick it between the goal line and the 20.
Yeah.
Right. If you kick it into the end zone, you get penalized. If you kick it, I guess. Yeah. Short of the 20.
Yeah.
That's like kicking it out of bounds. That's even worse.
So if you kick it in the end zone, I think it comes out to the 35.
35. And if you kick it short of the landing zone, it comes out to the 40.
40.
Yeah.
To the 40.
Which is a huge deal, especially with today's kickers. Dude, you have one pass play and you're like, well, we're in range.
Once they were at the 40, didn't we all kind of think?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
And you had timeouts. You're like, well, here it comes. This is the game.
Help me with the strategy of why you have done a pretty good job on kickoffs.
Yeah,
pinning Seattle, not pinning, but their average field position was at the 28. Mm-hmm. Why are you even messing with the idea of bringing them to the 40?
And this is one, I was trying to listen to a little bit of the presser. I was going to see if Gannon said anything. Was it just a miss hit? Or was that literally, did they go in and were like, no, I want you to kind of pooch kick this?
I think it was the pooch kick. It wasn't the high.
Yeah,
it kind
of hit more of a line drive. Yeah.
So it was a different strategy.
I guess the idea you don't
why did
want
you
him,
switch you, up the strategy?
Yeah, you didn't want him to return it. But again, I get that you don't want him to give a nice return. But by doing that, dude, you're putting the 40-yard line in play. It's a killer.
Don't understand it.
Yeah, that was a killer. And yes,
stupid Cardinal.
The moment that happened, everyone watching that game was like, oh yeah, this is over. And you know, Myers wasn't going to miss two in a row, which, by the way, I can't say that I've heard a lot of interviews with Seattle's esteemed kicker there. That might be the most boring human being on the planet. Oh, my God.
Have you seen golfers?
But I'll tell you what.
Have you ever seen Patrick Cantlay in an interview?
Patrick Cantlay is Stephen A. Smith compared to old Myers there.
I didn't see the post-game.
Dude, it was brutal. Even the announcer, because I was I had to go pick up someone from the airport, so I was actually listening to the post game on the radio here on 105.1 The Fan.
Nice.
Home of the Seattle Seahawks.
Nice. Yeah, we had the game, bitch. Hey, by the way, before you tell it, Schultzy over there.
Hey,
Schultzy's in the house.
What's up, guys?
I love this. Is the headband now just become your thing? Are you an everyday headband guy?
Not every day, but the Mariners just clinched the damn division, so
that's
you better
right,
expect
baby.
It. Appreciate you. I'm excited.
Schultzy's gone full Bryce Harper. I love it.
I was at the playoff clinching game on Tuesday.
Oh, that's cool.
Thanks, man. Let me just say, after going to useless games for 20 years with my dad, it was nice to see something that meant
And not
meant
just the
lot.
Postseason, but the first division win in, 24 years, right?
Yeah, I was 12.
Yeah, so. 2001.
That is correct.
17-1 in their last 18.
They are crazy
Dude,
hot right
yeah.
now.
It's awesome. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, so I was listening, and whoever was the Seahawks, sideline reporter or whatever, at one point even goes, you know, it's okay to be a little excited. You just kicked the gate. She was giving him crap. And he just looked and he goes, it can always be better. I had never heard him speak. And I'm here to tell you, he is the most boring, bland human being. At least Kirk Cousins is, he knows he's bland. He tries to spice it up a little bit, but my goodness.
I don't like Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
He's grown on me.
Yeah. You like that?
I do like that. So anyway,
well, he knows what he is, but my goodness, dude, Jason Myers, like, lighten up.
You know, it would be fun.
It's the smelling salts, man.
Oh, yeah. He was out there he was ripping the salts before kicking.
In all seriousness, it would be really fun if someone did a very scientific poll and study, deep dive of all sports personalities in every sport to truly find out who has the biggest bores.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it does seem like golf might win that.
It's true. Well, you got a bunch of country club. But then you hear behind the scenes that they're all like sleeping with each other's wives and doing a bunch of coke and
well, it's, the, know, it's private, the rich people.
Private planes.
You know, and, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Red big suit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, clearly. That's me. Playing out at Rose City.
Oh, I believe you stated, was it yesterday or 2 days ago? You were at the fine country club of Royal Oaks, which is a great spot.
As an esteemed guest. That's all.
Well, you're around that high society.
More of a Rose City man myself, and I can assure you that is a course of the people. That's a working...
Yeah, Rose City certainly is.
It's a working man's course.
Yeah, that's where Joey Harrington plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't belong to a club.
It is kind of weird.
At least I don't think.
Because that's like, if I'm going, that's the kind of the closest muni over by my house. So I do play there a bunch. And I will say that as I'm teeing off and some of the things you see out at Rose City, I often have the thought, I'm like, Joey golfs here? I'm like, I get why I golf here. But I just,
Joey's a man of the people,
He is
too.
A man of the people.
He's a Portlander.
That always throws me for a loop because he says he plays there. I've never seen him.
Well, I don't think he plays there a lot.
Okay, I was
Let's
say,
be honest.
I,
you know. He's an Eastmoreland guy, and you know he's got his country club. I mean, you know,
yeah,
you know, it's not uncommon to run into Joey at some fine country club. I'm sure, but
I understand.
He doesn't belong. I
keep waiting for the day where I see him out at Rose City, but I'm not certain that day is coming. Like I think I'll run into like Sprague there. Yes, am I running into Joey there?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
I don't know. Not every golfer has a stick up their ass, right? You don't always want to go put
no,
on.
No, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Thank you for pointing that out.
Well, I just say sometimes you just want to go have a few pops, not pay $30 for a beverage, and you know put on all your best wear.
This is the line of the day so far, and it comes from Schulte.
not every
golfer has a stick up their ass, right?
I don't think you need to have a stick up
I'm okay
up
with
your,
that.
I don't think you need to have a stick up your ass to aim slightly higher than Rose City. And I love Rose City. That's like I very much enjoy playing there. It's where the majority of my rounds are played. But to say that you have a stick up your ass for wanting, like I have one of my bartenders that I like to hang out with
at the country club.
No. He's a bartender just at a local
at a country club
at a local establishment here. Oh. And he's a very good golfer. And whenever I suggest. You know, he's not a country club guy. He's a bartender. And whenever I suggest where we play, he often has the stick up his ass. Whenever I suggest Rose City, he just looks at me. And we usually settle on something along the lines of Heron Lakes. So,
well, you gotta go down to Langdon, man.
It's a little bit of a drive.
Public
for us.
Only.
It's a little bit of a drive.
Just because you have a taste for Morton's doesn't mean you don't love to go to B-dubs every once in a while, right?
No, that's fair. Yeah. Hey, look, it's fair. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's your first segment.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. We have a big show today.
Did we know what happened on 18, by the way?
They're on the green.
Okay.
It looks as if... I didn't see what Burns did. So Burns has a putt for a birdie, but both Europeans have a putt for birdie as well.
Oh.
And this is a best ball, meaning
just one
of the two scores.
Is this a birdie putt? Okay, this is very makeable.
No, that's Cantlay marking.
Oh.
He'll have a par putt.
Okay.
So he put it in the bunker.
Very boy, they need it. You go down 6-2.
Yeah, not good.
It's not good.
Not good.
Well, I saw teams that go down 3-1 in the morning matches. I believe 8-1 in the last Ryder Cups. If you go up 3-1, so already not great for the United States. And if it's 6-2, maybe.
Well, it might just be 5.5, 2.5.
That's true.
You know, they might have this, but the U.S. got to make a birdie putt, and that it looks like it falls on the shoulders of the great Sam Burns, who I will say. Jace, he's one of the best putters on tour.
All right.
So perhaps he can drop one if Lowry.
Yeah, he's lining up for his right
and
now.
And McIlroy miss theirs.
Yeah.
So let's take a break. We have a lot of Penn State, Oregon today, including Ducks coach Dan Lanning. We were not here yesterday due to the Seahawks. So Lanning will be joining us at 4 o'clock in about 45 minutes. Joey Harrington later as well on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you.
you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wrapping up our Seahawks discussion before we move on, they are now 3-1.
Yeah.
No matter how you get there.
Yeah.
Well, and 3-1, and you could say that some of those obviously have been white knuckling it, but the loss they had to the Seahawks, dude, they had that game.
You mean the Niners?
Or excuse me, yeah, the game they lost to the Seahawks, duh. The game they lost to the Niners. I mean, I think this is just Seattle, and it's been this way for the last handful of years, right? They're kind of one of those teams right on the edge. They've been just shy of the playoffs, but I think what they're building defensively is really good. I think they have, and I think you're seeing this, by the way, like when McDonald left the Ravens, like what happened to the Ravens? I think they lost one of the best defensive minds in the NFL, and I think he's building a bully on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, you know, it's uneven at times. But I do think you're starting to see that identity start to come out a little bit. And right now you're seeing good Sam Darnold. And I think at this point, I think you can believe in what Sam Darnold is. And that may never be good enough for some people. But I think when you see what he did in Minnesota and what you're seeing here in Seattle, in the context of offensive schemes, you're not asking him to do too much. Sam Darnold can win you a lot of games. And I think if you're a Seahawks fan right now, I think you're pretty bullish. And the schedule is very, very manageable.
So the next three, so you're 3-1.
Yeah.
The next three before the bye week are hosting Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Should be good.
Yeah.
Then they are at Jacksonville, and they host the Texans, which is a Monday nighter on ESPN. So they, you know,
look, I don't,
shot at 6-1 before the bye.
Yeah, I don't think you really play an elite team until you get down to the Rams. I mean, and you
look—that's week 11.
That's week 11. I mean, the Titans are on.
They got to go to Washington, though.
Yeah, I'm not. And Daniels is beat up, and so we'll see what happens when he comes back. I wasn't completely sold on the Commies. I think there was maybe a little bit of that Houston slide coming back. The Texans, boy, I could do 30 minutes on what the hell is wrong with the Houston Texans. Dude, that thing
offensive
is...
offensive line?
Well, that starts it. And I just think they've gone from one crappy offensive coordinator to another. They have no continuity there whatsoever. I think they're doing a massive disservice to CJ Stroud. Jacksonville? I think Tampa's good.
That'll be a good game.
This will be a new test. And I know Tampa's beat up, and so we'll see what happens with their O-line. They may be getting some bodies back. But Tampa's a good team. But I said Seattle's a playoff team. Nothing about this so far leads me to believe that they're not. But let's also realize that they have beaten the Steelers, who, do you realize the Steelers, I believe, have the 29th or might be the 30th ranked passing game in the NFL, and their defense now sucks?
So, yeah, why does their defense suck all of a sudden?
It's not good. It's not good.
They have good players.
It's just,
what's up with Tomlin?
something tells me that maybe the expiration date there maybe is come and gone, and it might be time for just a real revamp.
Well, it is interesting. They've changed their ways the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
With this quarterback mess and now signing Rodgers. Like, it's very un-Steelers-like. And
it's not good.
It's not what they used to be.
The Steelers are bad. The Saints are really bad. And Arizona has lots of problems. And again, we can... Top to bottom, I think they've got a little bit of the Dolphins thing in them where I think they committed to the wrong quarterback. Marvin Harrison, I don't know what happened to him. I was told that he was this generational receiver. He's not good. I know he had the one catch in the end zone. I guess blind nut squirrel every now and then. Arizona is, and they're kind of the heart and soul of their offense is out for the year. Who got hurt.
James Conner.
So
Don't they feel like the same thing every year?
They're just spinning their wheels. So, yeah, 3-1 could be 4-0, but the one team that they have played that I do think is okay is the Niners, even though they're just beat to hell. So, very excited. I still think this is a playoff team because of the record, but I got to see it against someone other than Steelers, Saints, and Cardinals before I'm really starting to buy into that. You know, because things are going well in Seattle right now. Huskies are 3-0, and like, oh, Ohio State's coming in, and the Mariners are winning the division for the first time in 24 years. And Seattle, you know, the Seahawks, and I would just, you know, we know Seattle can beat bad teams. And this is like, how do I put this? Competent or above board teams beat bad teams in the NFL. And you can win a lot of games beating bad teams. But there's a difference between winning 9 or 10 games, being a playoff team, which is what like the Steelers do every year, and actually being someone that you believe can make some noise. And I do think this is a competent team. They're not going to beat themselves. I like what they're building, and it may be a little bit, but you're going to have to prove to me that against some real stiff competition that's going to push back about what you want to do, especially offensively, before I'll really start to believe that this is a team that scares me, that can make some noise in the postseason.
Yeah, you got to beat some good defenses.
Yes.
Because I feel like good defenses are going to be licking their chops for Darnold.
I don't think the run game is where they need it to be right now. And if you're not running the ball and you're not play action, I still think Sam Darnold in obvious passing situations with one real receiver, and JSN looks to be the real deal. You got Horton, but really one big functional piece out there. I'm not certain that if teams really stop this run game, that anything else in that offense scares you. And you know, that will come with time when you play some, again,
well,
Rams, Vikings, Bucks.
The adage is championship teams beat good opponents convincingly and they destroy their cupcakes.
Yes.
That's what championship teams
yes.
do. They are not defined by their ability to win close games.
Yes, that's so, competent teams.
Yeah, so I just think Seattle's going to be one of those teams, and there's a lot of teams like this in the NFL, maybe even Pittsburgh is one, that are just going to be in a lot of close games.
Yes.
And
yeah, buckle up.
It comes down to plays like last night where you know, the special teams gaff by Arizona or the special teams gaff by Pittsburgh in the Seattle game there.
And this may drive me crazy because this is kind of the Kubiak thing. He did this in you got a chance to grab this thing by the balls and end it. And you're at midfield and it's like run, kick a long field goal. Just have some, like, just have some gusto. If you believe in Sam Darnold and you believe in JSN, you know they're loading up and they're playing in a heavy box. Throw the ball. Why are you just... This is something that's going to drive me nuts as the NFL season goes on. We have way too many people comfortable with 56-yard field goals as like the definitive answer. Oh, we can put this out of reach. Don't worry. Ah, it's a 56-yard field goal. Myers will hit it. Just stop. Have some balls to reach out and be like, look, we went out and got this quarterback. We believe in him. He's playing well. Put the ball in the air, right? Like, just make a first down there, and the game's over. But you don't. You kick the field goal, you miss it, and all of a sudden we're like, ah, hell, now we're in a, you know, now we're in a real tight situation.
All right. Ryder Cup update. Rory missed the, what would you say, maybe 12-footer?
And so basically the same putt that Burns did. They both missed them back-to-back, kind of the same putt.
They both had birdie putts
yeah.
on 18, and they missed them.
Yeah.
So they have the match.
Burns missed it about 3 inches high, and Rory missed it about 3 inches low.
I tell you what. The morning was kind of a blowout. Europe dominated, but the afternoon was some really good golf by both sides. So it is, after day one, 5.5 Europe, 2.5 United States.
Look, not going well, but there's a big difference between 5.5 and 6.
Not good.
So.
It's not good. For the U.S. Okay, is it the Trent Bray is fired game tonight? Oregon State hosting Houston.
Is that a tease or are you asking me?
It's a question, bro.
Because
we got to move on to Oregon Penn State here.
I don't think so. I do not. There's nothing that I'm hearing and rumbling, and not many people have faith in anyone making decisions down there.
Touchdown yeah. 6, brother.
I think it would have to be really, 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 really bad in order for them to pull the trigger right now.
What if it is? I mean, what's that mean? 45-14?
If you lose the way you have the last 2 weeks and you keep this coaching staff together, it's malpractice on the part of Scott Barnes and that athletic department. It is. So it's not about did you lose. Houston should not overwhelm. There is not a single game left on Oregon State's schedule that you should be overwhelmed. And if you come out, and by the way, this is... It's and I'm not blaming anybody, but it's you're 0-4. It's Friday. I think is it a 7:30 kick if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah. ESPN.
Oh my God. Dude, there's going to be
nice night.
Dude, there's no one. It's going to be bad. And I don't know how much use is going to be in that building. You got to have some pride. You're 0-4. You're I think one of four teams. It's like four or five teams in Division I to not have a win. It's not many. Kent State has a win for God's sakes. And now you're into the workable part of your schedule. Pride at some point has to kick in. And I need to see something out of Oregon State. Because if you roll over in this game against Houston that is not Texas Tech and it's not Oregon, you have a game where you lose 41-7. It's malpractice if you keep them on. If hopefully they win, or at least they have a competitive game here and you can try to take some sort of moral victory, I guess you can make the argument that you give them more time, but they need to start stringing wins together because this is the part of the schedule where we all thought that Oregon State could really go on a run. There's no more, well, this team is more talented and this team has more money than us. Hogwash. This is a monster game for Trent Bray. Dara, I think for his tenure here, I'm not saying he's going to get fired, but I think this is a must win for Trent Bray if he wants to be the coach of Oregon State at the end of this year.
All right, we got Dan Lanning coming up at 4. Up next, quarterbacks who look like first-round picks but don't play like it. The Drew Aller edition. Here's Schultzy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oregon football coach Dan Lanning coming up in 25 minutes as the Ducks prepare for Penn State, or may already be prepared for Penn State.
I would assume at this point. The hay is in the barn, as they like to say.
So, yeah, big game tomorrow here on The Fan. I think our coverage starts at noon, kickoff's at 4:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, Drew Aller, and when Joey comes on at 5:30, I want to ask him about Drew Aller because we spoke about him earlier in the week, and Aller said, you know, he's been,
pressing a little bit,
overthinking, and, you know, it's interesting, Joey had a huge senior year, and Drew Aller, this is his senior year, and we saw the same thing with Carson Palmer. You remember Carson Palmer?
Mm-hmm.
All the hype, Carson Palmer.
Won a Heisman Trophy, that guy.
His senior year.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like, he was kind of, I think a lot of people thought, disappointing, and then boom,
yeah.
Senior year. Well, Aller has not had that senior year.
No.
He says he's pressing, and so we're going to talk to Joey about this and that whole dynamic and what that's like. I don't know, there's probably a lot of pressure on him, but what do we, these guys, like, and Hackenberg was one of these.
Yep.
Quarterbacks who look like first-round picks but don't play like it.
Yep.
That's Drew Aller. And I never know what to do with guys like this.
This is, I mean, we've been doing the show long enough. You know that this is one of my great bees in my bonnet, is the overinflation of college quarterbacks. We do it all the time. And every now and then, like, someone goes to the NFL and the Josh Allen is the greatest one. And unfortunately, because Josh Allen happened, because Josh Allen walked, now we believe that, like, Anthony Richardson and Jake Locker and every one of these guys is this is the product. Herbert had this, although Herbert was really, really good in college. I always wanted more out of Justin Herbert. He got Mario Cristobal, right? Herbert wasn't underwhelming. He just always, to me, left meat on the bone, but it turns out that might've been the offense that he played in. But we love to do this where if we're told when a kid shows up on campus, right, that he's a five-star kid or he's a four-star kid, and he's the future of the program, we just love to overinflate him. And Drew Aller has not been an elite quarterback. I thought last year he finally took some steps. Remember, the last 2 years, I killed Drew Aller. I was like, my God, if I have to hear one more thing and then he goes into a game and lays an egg. Remember, going into last year, I went back and looked at the Penn State's losses, because Penn State only really plays two or three good teams every year. Those games, he was dreadful, and I mean dreadful. And then he would run up numbers against bad competition. And last year, he was a little better in those big games. But I have watched every game that Penn State has played this year. I'm intrigued. I knew this was going to be the matchup, Oregon and Penn State. And if I just showed you, and we did a cut up, the All-22 of Drew Aller playing against Florida International, Villanova, and Nevada. And I told you that this was a senior 3.5-year starter at Penn State that we thought could be the number one overall pick in the draft. You would laugh at my ass. You would. I mean, there are times where he looks unfunctionable.
Go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
And there's other times you look at him, you're like, all right, that's all right. But the fact that he's played against three awful teams and he has four touchdowns and one interception, and I get it, Dante Moore hasn't played against anyone, but when you're not playing against anyone, I expect you to have 15 touchdowns and maybe one pick. And that ain't happening with the Penn State offense. And it may wake up against Oregon, but if I'm a Penn State fan, I am absolutely concerned that Drew Aller looks like this through three games. And we don't care. Once a narrative is in the talking heads of college football, from national media guys to play-by-play to color analysts, once we're told that someone is elite and this guy is going to be the next great thing, that guy basically has to bludgeon you over the head with a baseball bat with how bad he is before anyone will look at him and be like, well, maybe he's not what we thought.
No, I just think college commentators like to promote their sport.
Yeah.
You know, they prop these kids. I mean, they are kids. Yeah. I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
The hype train comes from, hey, you got to watch this quarterback. He's got all the tools. Well, all the tools doesn't necessarily mean looks that great when he's 20 years old. And I know Aller's a little older than that, but... You know, I think that's where a lot of that comes from. But I just don't know what to do with guys. So Josh Allen,
he's the one.
Yeah,
of one.
He was not great at Wyoming.
He was not.
But they always said, tools. Watch out for this kid. I remember that. I remember doing the show before the Oregon Wyoming game. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, watch out for this Josh Allen. And then we watched him play. It was Mariota versus Allen, I think.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, what, Josh? That guy sucks. But look at him. I mean, so I don't.
And by the
really,
way, it took him a couple years in the NFL.
Yeah,
the bad
sure
Josh
did.
Allen was there for a while.
And there's examples like, well, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Brady was a late bloomer, sixth-round pick.
Yep.
Didn't do much in college,
nope.
did he?
No.
Kurt Warner was off the scrap heap at a grocery store. So, you know, there's no maybe rhyme or reason to any of it.
Yeah.
But I just wonder why certain guys like this, they look... He looks. Some people have compared Drew Aller to Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah,
and he's big kid,
big kid,
big
athletic,
arm.
Moves well.
But when they don't play well in college, I just have a hard, I don't know what to do with them.
Yeah,
you know, and there's a lot of them because a ton of them are busts.
Yeah,
but then you also have the Josh Allen, the Kurt Warner, the you know.
This is my thing. If you're at a small school and we're not paying attention to you, I get it. You can fall through the cracks. Brady is. Dude, that's just, you're literally talking about a generational one of one. The guy was a part-time starter at Michigan, and, you know, look at what happened to him. That is, if you're going to hold up Tom Brady, like that's not an example. That's the outlier of outliers.
Well, so is Allen.
Yeah.
In a way.
And this is where, this is just my thing. And again, I'm not sitting here and saying that I'm breaking down all 22 for every quarterback prospect and judging them. But to me, if you're in a good program and you are not elevating the talent around you, that is a real concern for me. And it's one thing like with Josh Allen and you're playing at Wyoming and you've got a bunch of, you know, 1 and 2 star kids, and then you're playing Oregon. It's going to be hard for Josh Allen to raise that. And quarterback is such a dependent position, right? You don't have a good O-line, you don't have receivers, you don't have a run game, they can pin their ears back, your defense doesn't do anything, and so all of a sudden, you know, you're down by 3 touchdowns, so you can't run the ball anymore, and now you're having to throw the ball downfield into cover 2 looks. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. But when you're a quarterback and you're surrounded by talent, and you don't elevate the talent around you, I think that's a concern. And I don't understand. Like, if I'm an NFL prospect, or if I'm an NFL team and I'm looking at Drew Aller, I have serious concerns that he is surrounded by talent. And the whole, like, well, he doesn't have receivers. Well, they went out and got you receivers. The kid they got out of Syracuse was one of the best receivers in college football last year. The Trevor Peña. Dude, that guy was phenomenal at Syracuse. Dude, he's got 13 catches and 1 touchdown. That's not on him. You went out and got Hudson out of USC. You found receivers. There's a run game. There's a good old line. All these things are being built up around Drew Aller. And I ask the question, are you being propped up or are you the one propping? Like when you watch Michael Vick play in college, Michael Vick or Lamar Jackson, they took, Deshaun Watson was like this. They took good teams and made them great. And it was like, oh my God, like this.
Cam Newton
might be Vince Young. I mean, these are some of the one, even like Johnny Manziel, who was a bust. Manziel took an okay team and elevated it because he was so good. And I think far too often we look at a guy and he looks the part, he has the intangibles, and we say to ourselves, he should be better. And we always want to be the one that figures we can tap into it. But at some point, if you're not making the people around you better, I have real question about whether or not you're going to go into the NFL when the talent level is way more even. Very few NFL teams have giant talent advantages.
That ego of talent evaluators is always going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Can I throw one more name in the convo too? The backup for Carson Palmer and Matt Leinart at USC, Matt Cassel.
Yeah.
Didn't play more than like 5 games in college football. Ended up being a starter in the NFL. And if you go look at his interception to touchdown ratio, it ain't great, but there were probably five guys around the league that would not stop that belief. Matt Cassel can be a starter because they saw some kind of intangible for them.
So some of it is like...
Well, it's not really intangibles. It's measurables.
It's measurables.
Right? They're big. They have big arms.
Yes.
But just because you're... Like, Jeff George is the best example of that, right?
Best arm maybe to
best
ever
arm
come
ever.
Through.
Sorry, I was saying intangible because he didn't play, but I hear exactly what you're saying.
But we're saying... We're on the same page.
Gotcha.
I don't know. It's just...
Because in the NFL, most positions have like a... They have, you know, whether it's arm length or if you're a DB, you have to be able to turn your hips. If you're a quarterback, we need you to be able to make these throws. And if you don't have the physical measurables, for a lot of people, we just take you off the board. You're like, you know, I know you're a good college player, but we're just going to eliminate you. So when you get a kid that has every measurable you could want, we fall in love with what could be as opposed to what is in front of you. And sometimes it does work, but more often than not, especially when you've played a lot of football, I'll at least say this with Anthony Richardson. He didn't play a lot. So if you're going to blindly take a stab at someone, I suppose you could say we don't have a lot of film on him. But when you have 50 starts with a kid and it kind of looks the same almost every time, that's where I just kind of look at you and I'm like, what are you doing here? And I'll be very interested to see what Drew Aller, when we actually get to the draft, I'll be very interested in what people think of him because this quarterback class is not good. We thought it was going to be good. And so far it is, it has been maybe the most disappointing season for quarterback prospects that I can remember in a long, long time. And this is the true with like Heisman, you know, the Heisman Trophy. This is true with NFL draft prospects. Some guys are just eliminating themselves left and right. And the only reason that Drew Aller isn't getting more flack is that they're 3-0. But if they would have played against better teams, the way he's played, it would look, there would be people that would be very concerned. And now.
But if he has a big game this weekend,
it shuts everybody.
All changes. It's still really early.
Yes.
By the way, Dante Moore, plus 4,000 to be the number one pick.
Yeah.
Plus 4,000.
And by the way, this is going to sound bad, but it's not. How do I want to phrase this?
Oh boy.
Well, it's going to sound like a slight to Dante Moore, and it is not.
Okay.
If Dante Moore, the fact that Dante Moore is in that position right now,
dear.
Like, and he's climbing boards,
says everything you need to know about the draft class.
It is more to do with people that have and what they've done than what Dante Moore has done. Dante Moore has looked fine. He's been fine. This is more about the people that were ahead of Dante Moore that have absolutely tumbled. And he has just been, he's here. He's like, hey, I'm pretty good. And I put up good numbers against bad teams. And, I look pretty good doing it. And I got some measurables. And by the way, I don't look like that over there. And all of a sudden you look at him and be like, well, I mean, if it's not that guy and it's not this guy and it's not that, like Nussmeier hasn't looked good. Sellers hasn't looked good.
Yeah.
Arch hasn't looked good.
So how much
Aller hasn't looked good.
How much success do you need out of your college quarterback to, as an NFL team? I mean, because Tua is a great example. Yeah. This is a guy who won a national championship.
Yeah.
But
he's never been the same since the hip.
But then you also have the Dave Bartu theory. He talks about this all the time. And his theory is that a lot of these quarterbacks that come from the big time, talent programs like
can't
Alabama and Georgia, whatever.
They're propped up.
They're propped up by the talent around them.
Yep.
So it's such a hard one to balance all this stuff and pick the right guy.
It's why it's the hardest position in the world to evaluate, and it's why it's the hardest position in all of sports. There is nothing in sports that comes close to having to get under center or in shotgun and have to deal with that.
One thing about tomorrow, Dante Moore under fire is going to be interesting.
Yes.
Like, let's see it.
Because we haven't.
But also, Drew Aller, if you're an Oregon fan, he just does not scare you.
No.
I think there's one little sliver that looks back at the Big Ten title game and goes, he's better than I thought.
They ran the ball really well in that
they
game.
They did. And they're going to have to this game, too.
If Drew Aller is back there throwing the ball 45 times and Oregon stops the run, I feel very good.
Yeah.
If they ran, and they ran for 200-something yards on Oregon. If they're running for 6 yards a clip and then you let Drew Aller just kind of get into a rhythm and work play action, then I don't like it. But it's weird because Drew Aller, this is, I think Dante Moore started 7 games at UCLA, which whatever. And so this is his fifth start at Oregon versus Drew Aller, who's probably started 50 games.
Well, no, he was. We talked about this the other day. This is Dante Moore's 13th start.
13th start.
And this is Drew Aller's 32nd start.
Going into this game, I would gladly take Dante Moore as my starting quarterback over Drew Aller.
And here's another question for Joey, which we'll get to later when he comes on. But how much does a Dante Moore, how much does it help him to have played in an environment like this before playing in an environment like this? Because he really hasn't.
No.
They talked about the road games that he had as a starter at UCLA.
I think Utah might have been one.
That was the biggest one.
This will be a
And
different...
they scored like 7 points. Yeah.
This will be a... Well, and it's UCLA. This will be a...
It's
this
a
will be,
totally different animal.
This will be different than anything that he has seen.
All right, we got a Dan Lanning pregame show next because the coach coming up in 10 minutes on The Fan. All right, Dan Lanning coming up next. This begins the Dan Lanning pregame show. Are we predicting a tight, focused mood from Dan Lanning?
I would assume so. I think in the past, when we get to these sorts of games, he tends to be a little buttoned up. And I was, you know, I try to listen to some of his pressers. They were very short answers this week.
Yeah, I noticed that on Wednesday. Was Wednesday his last one?
Yeah,
it was very short.
Well, you know, sometimes you're running, you know, four wide and you're slinging the ball around at press conferences. Dude. And other times, man, you know, you go 13 personnel and we're going to run the ball. We're going to do condensed formations. And we're going to keep it nice and tight on the ground.
I can't imagine how competitive these MFers are. God, they just get so turned up.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We'll talk to him about it. But I get the sense... I don't know. It's weird. Oregon is kind of being overlooked this weekend, I think.
You think?
They're
underdogs.
They are underdogs. And I just feel like there's just a lot of talk about Penn State. I don't know. Yeah. I just feel like there's a lot of talk about Penn State. And I think Oregon's a little better than Penn State, so far.
I said after week two, Oregon was going to beat Penn State. And I said, I'm open to the idea that, you know, the next couple weeks prove me wrong. Penn State had a bye, so Oregon's played one more game. Now, to be fair, I think Oregon has come back down to, I don't know, some form of reality. The first 2 weeks, Oregon, to me, looked like the best team in the country. Because most of these teams have played inferior competition. Every now and then, like Ohio State played a real team in Texas, and you know LSU's played a couple games against better comps. But a lot of schools have played nobody, much like Penn State and Oregon. And Oregon looked the part. And then the last 2 weeks, they've been dominant, but Oregon has looked like all the other really good teams to where, yeah, they're dominant, but you can nitpick some stuff. Penn State, on the other hand, if I just told you that we stripped off all the logos, although Penn State doesn't have any, but if you just watched gray blacked out tape and I showed you Penn State, you would watch it. You wouldn't say that Penn State is the number three team in the country. You wouldn't say that Penn State was a national title team.
We're just talking about them it's so hard to go in there. And it is. It's going to be tough, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like Oregon... In other words, what I'm saying is, and we'll get a sense from Lanning next, he may be a little tired of hearing about Penn State this week.
If Penn State plays, if both teams play the way they've gone here in the first handful of games, I am very, very confident that Oregon will beat Penn State. But, you know, Penn State may have been sleepwalking through these first 3 weeks. And, maybe it's one of those things it's still early and there's no reason to open up anything. And you mentioned Drew Aller playing a little tight and they may come out. I'll say this from a talent standpoint, when you look at like NFL scouts are drooling all over this because there is first day talent all over both of these rosters. Penn State is more than capable of putting it together and beating Oregon. I just haven't seen it yet. And that's all I can go on is what I've seen so far in the three games.
Let's talk to the coach coming up next. Now, he usually joins us on Thursdays, but we had the Seahawks on, so he's been kind enough to join us on a Friday. And you're going to find out what band Dan Lanning is listening to today. Coming up next with the coach on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney+ and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.